What's up, what's up? You are now listening to FY Fly the Podcast, and I'm your host, Hassan Thomas, along with Remy, and we are here to share tools on how millennials can budget, save, invest, and understand student debt and credit to achieve financial freedom. If you're a high school student, college student, or someone who's interested in gaining more financial insight, this podcast is for you.
I'm trying to give me a bag. 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 I'm trying to give me a bag.
What's up? What's up, my fly folks out there? How y'all doing? I hope y'all doing all right. Welcome to FY Fly the Podcast. My name is Hassan Thomas, aka the kid that did, baby. The man that can, CEO Sonny. And I'm here with the top notch General Remy G, aka Mr. Make a Play. How everything going, bro?
What's up, my boy? I'm doing great. Got me a little shrimp platter for the show. We locked in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, here at FY Fly, we like to start off our show with a meaningful quote about money. And y'all know this is a show about financial literacy. And financial literacy at its simplest, understanding not only how to budget your money, but being able to save and grow your money effectively and efficiently. And today, my quote comes from Bill Rennick. Bill says, "I'm a big fan of small business ownership, and I think it's a great backbone of American innovation. But to be successful, you first have to have the courage to go for it." So with that being said, today we'll be talking about the importance of ownership, whether it be a small business, a property, or even owning your intellectual property. And then we're going to slide into our insightful interview with H-Town's very own, Mr. Corey Paul, who was one half of the Literacy Kings. So let's get active. What's up, what's up? Oh, y'all haven't heard? FY Fly just released their new website. Check out the link in the show notes and help us test out our site. Please check our free features, educational resources, and our blog that we update daily. We look forward to hearing from y'all. Now let's dive in. Man, we always hear the words rent or own, but which one is better? It all depends on the situation, nah. Let's take a look at a home, for example. We've all heard that buying a home is your biggest purchase, and it's normally looked at as the American dream. But now that we have information that is far more accessible, there are some different thoughts and opinions on this now.
Yes, son. Serial entrepreneur Grant Cardone said that he rents his home and he only buys or owns things that are making money. And I see what he's saying too, bro. Because technically, if you're taking out a mortgage to pay for a home, the bank owns that home, bro. Not you.
Facts, because be honest, bro. The definition of an asset is something that produces income. And owning a home and paying a bank to own that home is not a cash flow producing asset. But where it kind of gets tricky is by owning that home, most likely if it's in the right area, that home will go up in value.
Alright, making it an asset, huh? But like I got Grant was saying, this is why he rents the home he lives in and owns homes that he rents out to people. So basically, he's doing both, CEO.
I see, bro, I see. And that's a major play. And a new way to look at it for real, for real. Turning that liability into an asset by renting out that home to others while producing income and also staying down for the come up. Because when this house appreciates, he will be able to sell that house for more than he bought it for. And that's a smooth play there.
For sure. But ownership even goes much deeper than that, especially in the minority communities, bro. Because whoever owns and controls land, materials, resources, and overall economics truly can dictate who receives and who doesn't receive certain benefits.
You ain't lying though, bro. That's why the massacre of Black Wall Street happened in the 1920s in Tulsa.
Nah, for real. Because money is power. And for those who don't know, Black Wall Street was an African-American community in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A community of highly educated and successful entrepreneurs, doctors, and lawyers that had their community burned to the ground by white supremacists who wanted to keep Black people in their place back then.
And it was crazy, bro. Over 300 people were killed, thriving businesses, schools, hotels, all that burned down because, to be honest, it's been like this since the beginning of time. Money and knowledge is truly power. Those supremacists knew what was up, man. Talk about generational wealth. That literally would have been 100 years, a whole century our people could have been building and passing down businesses, life insurance payouts, and all that, man. But if you think about it, look at what we talk about on the daily, bro. Financial literacy. Financial equals money, and literacy equals knowledge and understanding. It's as simple as that. So the fact that our people were shot, killed, and burned alive just for trying to obtain those things should make you want to go even harder.
No cap, y'all. It's time to lock in. Because even like the quote said in the beginning of the show, small businesses are the backbone of America. You don't have to be the next Amazon or Google. You can run your own business. Have complete control of your time, money, and freedom. That's what ownership gives you. Control.
Nah, for real, bro. And you know this is a touchy subject for me because honestly, FY Fly is more than just a small business for me. It's my life. And I love my life, So you know I'ma love my business, my boy. But I honestly don't see myself ever not having majority control of FY Fly. Now life is long and things do happen. So I don't wanna say I would never give up a major percent of my company, but I can say I don't never see myself giving up majority control. Cause I was just thinking about this the other day, bro. I'm able to literally do whatever I want with FY Fly. I don't have to ask nobody, no coach, no professor, not my mama, no board member, nobody. And that's an amazing feeling.
It sounds like a feeling of ownership to me, my boy. You know a lot of people start their own business because they don't like being told what to do. Is that the reason why you started your business, son?
Is that the reason? Nah, I don't have a problem being told what to do. I don't care who get the credit as long as we all winning. I started my business because once I figured out that business is literally finding a problem and becoming that solution, I knew that entrepreneurship was the move for me.
Because y'all know what we say, huh? If you have a problem, find a solution, baby. Simple as that.
But you over here asking me questions like you interviewing me, boy. I got a question for you, Mr. Make a Play. You know we have a lot of young and up-and-coming artists and influencers listening right now. So why would you say it's so important to own your intellectual property like your music, dances, and different things like that?
I got you. So the key reason it's important to have ownership of your own creative properties is because at the end of the day, those are your creations. You devoted time out your day to create a masterpiece. So of course you're going to want to have ownership of it. When I signed to Jackson Multimedia Records, the CEO made sure I knew all of my albums and singles would belong to me. He didn't even ask me for a percentage off my streams. Your music and other creations a lot of the time are extensions of your personality. And you definitely want to own the things that will shape people's perception of you.
Man, that's facts, fam. Because I remember earlier this year on TikTok, black creators were getting their dances and things stolen by people who had more followers.
White people who had more followers.
Yeah, my fault. White folks who had more followers. But shout out to us for learning and progressing. Because I saw not too long ago that it was the first black woman to trademark her TikTok dance that went viral. So y'all see, ownership is super critical now. So now we're going to take a quick break and slide into our insightful interview with rapper and podcaster, Mr. Corey Paul of the Literacy Kings. Let's go. Yo, this your boy CEO Sonny, aka The Kid That Did. And before we really jump into our show, I just wanted to let y'all know, I've officially dropped my clothing line HRTs, and we're starting off with our four flagship designs. We have CEO, creating everyday opportunities. For my FY Fly ladies out there, we have WWW, Women With Wealth. For my FY Fly fellas, because y'all know we can't leave y'all out, we also have our Invest Men shirts. And last but not least, we have our Run Up A Check shirts. Thank y'all for tapping in with us. The link will be in the show notes. Hope y'all enjoy the show. Let's go. What's up, my fly folks out there? How y'all doing? I hope y'all doing all right. And today we are speaking with entrepreneur, rapper, and fellow podcaster, Mr. Corey Paul. How you doing, boss man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad to be here. Happy to be here, dog. You know what I'm saying? I love what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So it's an honor and a privilege.
I appreciate it, man. So tell us a little more about you, your background, and how you got started with everything you're doing. Because I know you got multiple facets of you.
Yeah. So, man, I'm a shotgun it, you know what I'm saying? And then you can bust down whatever you want to, bro. But so me, I'm from Houston. I'm from South Park, Houston, Texas. You know what I'm saying? The young boys call it Jurassic Park. You know, when I was coming up, 30% dropout rate. We out the hood right off MLK. So I came up, came up hustling. Rap was my everything. I started rapping when I was like 12. You can tell me we weren't finna get a deal at Universal. And be throwing money out the moon roof, you know what I'm saying? So rapping was everything for me, man. That was everything, and I kept at it. And so fast forward, I've put out three albums, you know, several mixtapes and singles. Two of the albums, God Grace, hit Billboard. I've had the opportunity to start indie. Then I signed some deals and, you know, was on labels and managements and all of that, and learned a lot from that. Ended up going back indie, you know. So that was, you know, the trajectory of music for me. I mean, I'm still pumping with that. But on a personal, you know, big thing for me was how I came up. You know, I came up real rough in the hood, and so that was what my music represented. Then when I was like 17, my partner, he basically put me on the mindset of like, we can't worship the creation, we got to worship the creator. You know what I mean? That's when my partner put me on, like 17, and that really changed my life, you know, for real, for me, because I always wanted something for my people. You know, man, we can really, you know, our people been set back for so long. It's like, damn, what can I even say that's going to undo all of this, these years of oppression? You know, it's just overwhelming. But he put me up on game like, nah, man, you know, God sent Jesus, and he already, you know what I'm saying, you know, basically took the charge. You know what I mean? He already took the charge. And so we just really putting boys up on game until it's all good. And that really was, you know, inspirational for me, man. So that really shaped my music, my mindset, and everything. And so I was running and gunning, you feel me? And then during, you know, being an independent artist, then starting my media company and signing contracts and doing splits and all of that, I realized, bro, I don't know nothing about money. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about money. I don't know about business. So that's what launched me into my quest of like financial literacy, you feel me? And then once I start understanding, I start turning up, you know, linked up with my partner. And then that's been our goal for a while now, is to basically, you know, Literacy Kings, man, we break down financial books and information in a culturally relevant way for people of color who've been marginalized, you feel me? So I infuse my music background and currently being in the music game with that financial literacy, so we can, you know, we can make, you know, investing popular, you know what I'm saying, amongst our people. So yeah,
big fact. So I got two questions. So what was the biggest lesson you learned in your rap career journey? And what was the biggest lesson you've learned so far in your entrepreneurship and podcasting journey?
That's good. In rap, man, I would say in rap, I got several top ones, but one of the biggest lessons I learned was to offer value. Like, find, cause you rapping, you can be hard, but ain't nobody listening to you. You ain't got no connects. You don't know, like, man, how can I get my stuff out here? And it was like, well, what value can you offer people? So like, my partner had a shop, you know what I'm saying? And he need business for his shop. I'm always out at freestyle, you know, competitions and open mics and beat competition. I'm always out. So he like, man, you get people in the shop, you know what I'm saying? And you know, you can offer value. And the way I did that was, I go to the spot, this back in the day, right? When we had CDs, like, you know what I'm saying? Really getting it in with CDs. I'm telling boys at the spot, hey, man, you hard. Man, if you want your CD in a physical location, you know, I got a shop right over here off of, you know, Belford or whatever. We'll put you, you know what I'm saying, on consignment right in the front or whatever, you know, just to get you out there. And it's like, I'm coming up, I'm offering something instead of asking for something. So then now that put me in a different, you know what I'm saying, spot than maybe other people that came in. Now I got a way to start building a relationship to where hopefully, you know, I can get something out of it too. Not that I'm in it to get something, but you know what I mean? And it can be reciprocal.
Building that community.
Yeah.
So what about your entrepreneurship journey? What was the biggest lesson you've learned from that?
Yeah, man. So with entrepreneurship and the podcasting, bro, easy. Systems. Like
systems and processes. Systems, yes, sir.
Systems, bro.
Talk like, to us.
You know what I'm saying? I could talk for a whole podcast about this, but I just put it like this, man. It's a book. I'm a literacy king, so I'm gonna have a book for everything. It's a book called The E-Myth. It's called The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. Y'all can go check that out. And he basically break down systems, and he say how, like, with McDonald's, the reason why they popping how they popping is because of a system. The goal was to have the system of McDonald's was so easy that anybody that had the bag to pay for the franchise could successfully run one, because everything was calculated and it was in an order. So in the business world, that's what I learned. I need a system, because from A to Z, everything it take to run a successful business or podcast, I need to remove myself from as many of those tasks as possible. And I only want to focus on a few things that I do really well and have other people do the other things. But if I don't got a system for them, it's going to get messy. So I say systems, dog.
You know, I heard P. Diddy say, he say, staff your weaknesses. You pay people to do what you're not good at.
There you go. You know what I'm saying? Don't be the smartest person in the room. You know what I'm saying? Will Smith said the same thing. They basically was like, bro, how you been hot forever? Like, Will Smith ain't never fell off. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, because everybody around me is better at what they do than I am at what I do. So he was like, my agent is a better agent than I am an actor. You know what I'm saying? You know, my manager is, you know what I mean? He like, I find people that's better at what they do than I am even at what I do. And he used that in Just, you know what I'm saying? Because he hard too. But he's just saying like, man, find great people to surround yourself with.
Big facts, big facts. Yeah. So you said a little earlier, you said your partner told you when you was coming up, he said, don't praise the creation, praise the creator.
Yeah.
That's hard. So is that when you became a man of Christ, or have you always been, you know, have you always been a man of Christ?
Nah, man, no. We didn't grow up in the church at all. You know what I'm saying? Nah, we didn't grow up in the church at all. I was just out there getting it in the street, you know, and it wasn't until I was, you know, I was almost grown, you know what I'm saying, to where I started rocking with the Lord. And when he told me that, like, you know, it makes so much sense, you know, even as we talk about it financially, right? Like, you can't worship the gains. Why is the company making gains, or why is the investment making gains? You feel what I'm saying? Like, if you own a stock and the stock going up, you can't FOMO in because it's going up. Like, do got a good team? Does it have a moat? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they innovating? Like, it has to be a core that's fire, right? So that's what he was saying. Like, bro, I know you're trying to get money. I know, you know, you're trying to get the girls. I know you're trying to do this. But who's the person? Who's the creator that created the things? If you get to the plug, you good. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that just hit me. And I was like, he right. And so I just started digging to try to see, you know, what that meant.
Mm. So how else would you say faith and finances play a big role? I mean, you know, counterpart with each other.
When you from where we from, dog, like I say, 30% dropout rate from the, you know, hood. Faith is the only, because what? You're going to either walk by faith or walk by sight. And when you coming from any, even if you ain't from the hood, but just financially, you know what I'm saying? You don't come from a whole bunch of money. If you walking by sight, then you sure ain't gonna invest because you barely getting by. You know what I'm saying? I can't afford to lose this money. You come where we from, you're not thinking about like your long-term investments and compound interest. Like, you only gonna go off of like, I gotta eat right now, I gotta, you know. So you have to have faith, you know what I'm saying, where you know you believe in something that's not there yet. You know what I'm saying? You gotta step before you can really see the next step. You know what I mean? Like, you have to have that to come from being impoverished and having a poverty mindset and that fear of being broke. You gotta believe in something you never seen. You feel me? Cause we first generation. You know, me and my dogs, we first generation investors, owners, and all of that. So we believe in stuff we never seen. And I think it's really hard, it, coming from where we from, if you don't have faith to really buy into it, you know.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, I heard you mention self-doubt on your Instagram a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I seen that you said self-doubt is a huge deterrent for people following their dreams. Mm-hmm. What are some ways my audience can overcome that self-doubt?
Yeah, man. My partner got a poem. He got a poem where he say, when you have doubts, to doubt the doubt. Right. And so, like, what I would say some ways is to understand that your body and your mind is designed to keep you safe. You know what I'm saying? So if you go to the edge of a cliff, you don't got to ask yourself how you feel. Your body going to tell you, like, your heart.
Or you
going to
get hot.
You know what I'm saying? Back up. If you put your hand over fire, back up. Like, your body designed to keep you safe. So you got to understand that it's just doing its job. But the mind and the spirit, it is higher than the flesh. You feel me? So you got to understand that while it's doing its primal job, it can't control you. It can't be the leader. So understanding, I feel like, is one. Knowing that that's natural. It's normal to feel that way. You know less than, you know what I'm saying? You know, when it comes to doubts. Two, I would say understanding the power of now. It's a dope. The power of now. Eckhart Tolle. He just really getting game from the Bible, but, you know, in other places. But power of now. He say everything always happened right now. Right. So the past is done. You can't change it. And the future not here yet. You can't control it. What can you do now? So a lot of times I doubt come from that past or the future. So it's like, just focus on the now. And three, get around some people. You know what I'm saying? You got some greatness inside of you and you can't see it. You get around some good people and they'll help you. You know what I'm saying? Community will help you. Like, man, you do that right, bro. Like, stay strong in that. You know what I'm saying? So that's some of the stuff that helped and helps me, you know what I mean, when going through that. Because I don't think it ever just go away. You always going to have doubts. But, you know, it's what you do with them.
Big fact. So talk a little bit about danger versus fear. You know, elaborate on that for the audience.
Yeah, I love that one, man. It's a difference. You feel me? I love that it's different. So understanding the difference between danger versus fear is powerful, right? It's very natural and normal to feel fear and to be fearful, but it's to recognize that it's no true danger necessarily there. So example I use is like, you know, we from Texas, right? So Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know what I mean? Like the scary movie, right? So you got some people that's like, if it's in the middle of a supposedly haunted mansion on Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre playing, well, you can't pay them enough to like spend the night there. It's just, that's terrifying. That's fear. Is it really any danger that we know about offhand? No, it's really just a lot of stuff from our minds, right? So that's fear. That's not necessarily dangerous, right? But you might be, you know, in Florida, you know what I'm saying, in the water, you know, and it's beautiful and everything look great, but it's maybe a potential for a stingray bite or a shark attack. So you don't feel any fear, but it's a potential of danger there. You know what I'm saying? So once we separate the difference, then we'll realize when we got an investment that we've done our due diligence, we've researched it, and we put our money in it, we said we're going to let it sit for this long, market start going down, heart start beating, your palms start sweating, you know what I'm saying? I need to pull my money out. That's just fear. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's no true danger there because you shouldn't have been investing what you can't afford to lose. So you got to see your plan through in order to be able to judge if it's a good plan or a bad plan. So once you understand, hey man, CP, you know what I'm saying, look, it's no danger here, bro. You're just fearful, and that's natural and human. You know what I'm saying? You can kind of talk yourself off the ledge a little bit.
You know, bro, I honestly feel like our society, we live in kind of like a popcorn society. We think we could just put everything in a microwave and it'll be done in 30 seconds and we'll be rich. You know what I'm saying? So can you talk to the audience about how important delayed gratification is?
Man, you got to cook it slow. Yeah, you got to cook it slow.
Like,
man,
some roast.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You got to cook it slow, man. It's just, I understand. So delayed gratification versus instant gratification, right? Delayed gratification is, you know, they do this, the classic marshmallow study. Hey, was something popping on like on TikTok recently. They did the trend with the kids. They put the candy in front of the kids and be like, hey, don't touch it, I'll be right back. And they got the video up to see if the kids are gonna take the candy or not. They seeing if they can delay gratification or if they need that instant gratification, just I'm gonna pop one M&M, right? They've done studies, it's a famous marshmallow study that basically talk about, you know, if kids can delay gratification in the future, they do better versus kids that can't delay gratification. And it's debated or whatever. But coming from where we from, instant gratification, a lot of times it makes more sense because resources ain't necessarily plentiful. So you like, I got to get it right here, right now, because it might not be a tomorrow. So understand it, respect it, I'm from it. But as we elevate out of a poverty mindset, right, and we start thinking about more of, we think out of the abundance instead of out of lack, then we realize delayed gratification is the move. Speaking in the terms of finance, compound interest, right? So like, in order to receive the full benefits of compound interest, you have to delay gratification. You know what I mean? So just looking at life and understanding why you may feel the need of instant gratification. You know, my mama used to be like, hey, mama, we want to get this, da da da. She'd be like, oh, we'll try to do it next week. You know, say my mama a G, but she's a single mom, but she ain't had a bread like that. We'll try to do it next week. Sometime next week come, she can't get it. So we start getting a negative, like, nah, I'm getting it right now. You know what I'm saying? But that delayed gratification, it'll help with the returns, in my opinion.
You know, I'm glad you touched on that compound interest. Can you explain what that is exactly and how can we utilize that?
Man, so it's a dope example. You can look up like compound interest of a penny. It's a dope example of basically, it's like if you take you want $1,000, you know, $10,000 every day for a month, or do you want one penny that doubles in interest every day? So even though it sounds like it's probably a trick question, you do the real quick math and you're like, ain't no way a penny, you know what I'm saying? It's just not possible that a penny. Bro, it's crazy. It does. Now, it's not about the point of finding an investment that doubles. The point is to see like the power of compound interest, even starting with a penny. So what compound interest is like, If you know, if you're not an investor or you brand new, it's like, I don't understand the effects. Okay, well, let me go this way. If you got a credit card or any type of debt, you are very familiar with compound interest. So when you had a credit card and they say, okay, we're gonna put a 5% interest rate or 10% or whatever, and you keep paying, and you like, bro, why won't this balance go down? You know what I'm saying? That's compound interest. You know what I'm saying? It's just working against you, because what's happening is you spent $1,000, they're gonna charge you 10% on that $1,000, right? So that's $100, right? So every time it's $1,000 balance, they hit you with 10% of that interest. So if you pay 50 or 75 or even 100, you're not getting at the principal. The principal is that original $1,000 you borrow. You're not getting at that. You know what I'm saying? You just paying off your interest. So you just going in a circle. Now, flip that though. What if you invested $1,000 and you was getting 10% interest? And every month or every however long, your $1,000 turned into $1,100, then $1,200, then $1,300. Then peep this. As they keep growing, you're not getting the interest of $1,000 no more. You're getting the interest of whatever you got in the pot. So if your $1,000 turned to $1,500 and you still making 10%, you getting $150. You know what I'm saying? Instead of the initial $1,000. So when you let that go over time, we talking 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, it's necessary. It's the only way to beat inflation. And I don't want to get too far ahead, and so maybe this will come up later or not, but we'll talk more about why you got to beat inflation. But compound interest is a powerful way to do it.
You know, that's why I feel like it's so important to get it started investing right now. You know what yes. I mean? At the whatever age you at.
Yes, exactly. The earlier the better, because you can turn up when you're young. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like,
when you're young, you can turn up. You 18, you know what I'm saying, 19, investing. Yeah, you can put more of your money in a Tesla if you want to, because you 18. You know what I'm saying? Versus if I'm 55, I got to be a little more, you know what I'm saying? And I'm close to retirement, you know? So you always want to be wise, but the younger you start, you know, the you ain't got no necessarily like hardcore responsibilities just yet, you know what I'm saying? So you can turn up.
Yeah, and I'm definitely glad you mentioned that inflation, bro, because I wanted to ask you, you know, what is your thoughts on inflation and the effects it has on our money and our savings account, or for some of the folks listening, the money in their shoeboxes, mm-hmm. or the money under their mattresses? Mm-hmm. You know, we talking to a whole bunch of folks listening mm-hmm. right now, all Save. Different types.
Bro, that inflation is a must. I feel like that's what keep a lot of us from investing, because we don't understand inflation. Bro, inflation is a monster. So here's why it's so tricky. Because, okay, so inflation is when the purchasing power of your money decreases because the amount of currency, the amount of dollars is going up. They're printing more money, right? So it's causing the value of that dollar to go down. So if they drop, you know what I'm saying, if it's some new J's and they only drop 1,000 pair, then they might be, you know, $1,000, $10,000, you know what I'm saying, $100,000, who knows? But if they drop 1,000,000 pair, everybody can have those, so the value gonna go. So that's what they do with the money. They keep printing more and more and more and more money. So then the value of the money goes down, right? So now, how does that come together? What that mean is, this tripped me out, bro. If you had, let's say you had, you know what I'm saying, you know, $10,000 today, you can go and buy something worth $10,000, right? But what happens is 10, 20, 30 years from now, that $10,000 no longer has the purchasing power of $10,000, because they printed up so many more dollars by then. So that $10,000, say 20 years from now, it may only be able to buy something worth $7,000. So in your bank account, you'll see you got $10,000, but you won't be able to buy the same thing you would have initially. You know what I'm saying? So you really got $7,000, not 10, right? And the more money you have, the harder you're going to get hit by it because of inflation. And it varies. So that's why what you're trying to do with investing, you're trying to offset inflation, right? So the inflation, it varies. It could be 2%, this year and 7% next year, and it can go back and forth. So you're going, okay, what can I put my money in that's earning me more interest than inflation? So something like the S&P, you know, following index, S&P, you know, tracked index fund. S&P is just, you know, that's the 500 top companies, you know what I'm saying, in the U.S. And you can, you know, they all in one fund. Well, over the history of the stock market, y'all can check all my facts, you know what I'm saying? Over the history of the stock market, it's giving back a 7 to 10% return, you know what I'm saying, over time. So that's something that's not, you're not throwing dice at Vegas with something like that. So a simple investment like that isn't complicated, and it'll allow you to at least offset inflation, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on them ETFs, though, because I made a post about that the other week, because I feel like ETFs are a great way for people to invest, you know, without a lot of complexity, you know, because it's like instant diversification, you know what I mean?
I agree, bro. Yeah, I agree. Single stocks are sexy, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's sexy, the Tesla and Apple, and you know what I'm saying? And you know, it has its place in your portfolio, in my opinion, you know what I'm saying? But them ETFs, they solid because it don't all rise and fall off one stock. You know what I'm saying? You know, you in love with Tesla. I love Tesla, but Elon Musk tweet out something crazy, they must, you know, they stock can lose 10-15% just that day, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, ETFs is dope. That's where, you know, you might want to get in the cannabis industry, but you don't really know which one gonna win. They got ETFs that include multiple cannabis companies and also cannabis adjacent companies. So it might be cannabis companies, but it also may be realty companies that house cannabis, you know, growth. Or it may be Scott's Miracle-Gro, like they publicly traded, and they provide a lot of the soil and whatever the stuff needed to grow. So it may be those adjacent companies as well in the ETF, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm with them ETFs. They ain't as sexy, but over time, I feel like they're really solid.
Building that generational wealth.
There it is right there. Yeah, for sure.
Big facts. So let's jump back to your music career a little bit. How has being financially literate helped you navigate in the music industry?
I need my ownership. I need all my ownership, dog. You know what I'm saying? I need all my ownership, bro. I need all my points. I need all my royalties, mechanical, streaming, Facebook, YouTube. I need all my points, bro. I need my ASCAP, you know, for my performance. I need my publishing, you know what I'm saying, for the stuff I write. I need, you know, to be on Song Trust, you know, if you're a musician, look that up. Sound Exchange, if you're a musician, look that up. You feel me? Like, I need to be in on all of that. And if you're not a musician and you don't know what all that mean, all that stuff I named is different ways to get money. You know what I'm saying? It's different ways to get money as an artist. When you signed, a lot of times, if you not really just, you done went dumb and you get a Master P deal, your label owns a whole lot of that. You know what I'm saying? They own a whole lot of that. And so, you know, you may be counting off of shows and merch. Then something like COVID happened and your shows get shut down. Yeah, boys at home streaming, but if your deal ain't set up right, you don't get none of that money. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so you know, being indie in the music game and just being a part of it in general, it really show you, like, when you got different vehicles and ways to get money, you need to have some type of ownership stake in them. I'm not saying you get a big label, you get a big deal, and then you think you're gonna still own everything. Maybe not, depending on how you're trying to get it, but you should have some type of ownership stake or buyback stake, because you don't know what the future hold. What if Mariah Carey didn't have no stake in her Christmas music? You know what I'm saying? Like, streaming got her Christmas music going dumb. She can count on that check every Christmas. She probably be going shopping spree crazy. You know what I'm saying? And if she didn't own nothing, you know what I'm saying, she be out of there. Who's that? Sir Mix-a-Lot. You know, Baby Got Back. He I don't know if he on all of it or part of it, but he owns some of that. How many years later, that song still being used in commercials and movies, and you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, you gotta have at least some type of ownership stake for the long run.
Yeah, that ownership too crazy. Because I just seen not too long ago how Lil Wayne sold the masters for Drake and Nicki.
They had, and his court case brought up a lot of that, because we was looking at that, the Literacy Kings, we was looking in on that to trying to see what's up. And his court case brought up the documentation is how the media was able to get a hold to it, because, you know, of course, you know, in court filings, you know, his financial situation is going to be a part of it, because if they taking him away from his family and he's showing like, yo, I'm responsible for all of these people, depending on the charge, they take that in consideration. So, you know, I don't know the exact details of how that worked, but what oftentimes happens in the music industry, who got a line? I can't remember if it's a Drake line or whatever, but he basically like, you signed to somebody who signed to somebody who signed to somebody. You know what I'm saying? And that's super normal. So with the like Wayne selling the masters type thing, a lot of times it can be that chain, like, oh, you signed to Young Money. Young Money, like Drake got OVO, but he signed to Young Money, and Young Money signed to Cash Money, and Cash Money signed to Universal. So if Universal make a decision, if Wayne agreed to something with Universal, it trickle all the way down and affect anybody that's on that branch of the tree. You know what I'm saying? So I know that, you know, you really have to have a heck of a business mind, and then also it depends on your situation, because Wayne talked publicly about Jay-Z helping him with taxes and stuff like that. So it's public record that Wayne's financial situation was touchy. You know what I'm saying? Him and Birdman had the public, you know what I mean? So we know he not like in the best financial you know place. And if he don't have like, it's Rich Dad Poor Dad 101, if he don't have like assets really built up and he got to go sit down for a little bit, he might have to cash out to take care of his people, you know what I mean? And maybe that was part of it. But yeah, it's a thing though.
Yeah, we definitely gonna touch on that Rich Dad Poor Dad a little later. Mm-hmm, most definitely. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us in general, why do you think financial literacy is so critical for young people and honestly everybody?
Yeah, man, it's financial literacy is just like English class, you know what I'm saying? It's just like how you learn to read, you know learn your letters and your sounds so you can read, and then that leads to you reading to pass tests, and then you reading in job applications, then you reading on your job, reading for promotional exams. Like, it just keep on going, you know what I'm saying? The more you read, the bigger your vocabulary. You go into certain meetings and certain places and spaces, so people having conversations, you networking, they say a word, you know what that word means, so you can be intelligent. You know what I mean? It's most, but they don't do that with money though. They stop after you learn how, you know, to count and multiply. Then in college, in high school, you get a bunch of, for a lot of people, stuff you never use again. Algebra, geometry. A lot of people never really use the fullness of that again. But you don't elevate your money talk.
And yeah, they try to sneak a little bit of it in economics.
Yeah, they try to slide a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But you know, you in every class you reading. You know what I'm saying? In every class you writing, in every class you know what I'm saying, you doing papers and all of that stuff. So you're working on that part, but the money side is equally important, because you got to keep raising your financial IQ. So when you think about financial literacy, you just think my money getting smarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, my money getting smarter. The more I read about money, the more I can apply. You know what I'm saying? And my each time I apply it, it's smarter, you know what I'm saying? Or it's trained better when I put it on the field. So that's kind of how I liken it, you know?
So what do you think the best way for our listeners to become fly? And by fly, I mean financially literate and invested.
Man, bro, I say reading. You know what I'm saying? Reading, like listen to this podcast, you know what I'm saying? And read. And that can sound kind of like ambiguous, you know what I'm saying? But what happens is when you read, like, you read a book, and in the book it'll say, yeah, you know what I'm saying, they use this, you know, 1030, you know, such and such for, you know, in real estate in order to roll over, you know, da, da, da. And you're like, what is that? You know what I'm saying? So you don't even know that it existed, and you look it up. You type in, oh, it's a 1030. Oh, that's how they. Okay, well, why would they do that? And you click a link, and then you see what I'm saying? So it's like they taking, you know, these top financial books are taking these foundational principles, and then you take in those principles, and then it opens up your world to do that research. Once you start doing that reading and get your knowledge, find a community. I'm going to keep going back to that. Find some people that's investing. If you don't know nobody around you, it's investment groups, you know what I'm saying, in your city. You can look them up, you know, and then find some people to do it with. And then the third thing I say is get out there. You feel me? I don't care if you take $20, you know what I'm saying, and put it on, you know, Robinhood, Cash App, you know, Webull, whatever, you know what I'm saying. Take $20 and just, you know, whatever stock you like. In my opinion, you don't even got to go into the in-depth stock research yet. You can put your $20 in there because I like Nike, and then start learning about it, because I feel like if you put the money in there, it'll help you, like, go tap and see the new articles and, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that or whatever. So you can do the research before you put real money. You got to do research before you put real money in the game.
So, you know, I know you said reading really changed your life. What book was it that really had that huge impact?
Man, so if we go back, like, okay, so just so we have clarity, I believe in mind, body, soul, you know what I'm saying? Like, I believe all that come together, you know, for the finances. So, you know, it's a layup, it's a bestseller. The Bible is hard, you know what I'm saying? So, like, don't believe what nobody tell you, include me, about the Bible. You gotta read it, you know what I'm saying? Because you read it and boys be like, what? You know, they say, oh yeah, that's when, you know, what the dude got swallowed by the whale, you know what I'm saying? And be like, what, no whale, just say large fish, you know what I'm saying? They be like, oh, the three wise men. They never said it was three wise men, you know what I'm saying? It was three gifts. They ain't say how many men it was, though. You feel like you were reading, you be like, man, these boys is, you know, like, so you gotta read it for yourself. So, you know, because you gotta have, I believe in, you know, spirit, you know, my spirit is important. And from there, with that faith, I was able to grow. So then in the practical, you know, of that day to day, you know, leveling up, books like The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, books like Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren, that kind of stuff really helped me on my, you know, my mental, you know. Then in the financial space, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know what I mean? That one was hard, and that one really, really changed, you know what I'm saying?
So what was the biggest takeaway out of that book, out of Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Ooh, the biggest? This
I know it's a
really
lot.
Hard question.
Cause I know it's a lot. I've been reading that joint too.
if I had to say one biggest, he said poor people make money, rich people invent money. Ugh, hard. You know what I'm saying? He's like, poor people make money, rich people invent money. You know what I'm saying? The biggest, right? The biggest facts. What does he mean by that? Well, when he say poor people, Robert Kiyosaki, he got some, you know, I don't care about his personal ways. He got his business ways is solid. So he can have some kind of funny ways about how he say certain things. But what he's saying about poor people, he's saying the poor mindset. You know what I'm saying? And what he's saying is, you know, you think, okay, I got to go to work and then they pay me for the time I put in, or I do this thing, I trade my time for money. He's like, nah, you don't make money, you invent money. How do you invent money? Clubhouse just got announced that they valued at $1 billion. Why, bro?
Sheesh, already?
Why they value? Why? Who said who? Who said that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how are they valued at $1 billion?
Yeah.
You feel me? Well, because that's what the analysts / investors, ventures, that's what people willing to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? And so when you talk about inventing money, that is the equivalent from a thought becoming a thing. And so you realizing that your financial intelligence is allowing you to create money. Right. You're literally being able to create it. You know, that's as simple as us having this conversation about, you know, on the podcast. You can put the podcast out and monetize it. You see what I'm saying? Like, you created a revenue stream for you. And why is that different from making money? Because you can be asleep tonight and people still listening to this podcast and you still getting money off of ads or whatever that you did. So now you're not having to be there, you know what I'm saying, to make money. That was foundational.
Makes sense. So one phrase that Robert Kiyosaki used in that book was the rat race. Can you elaborate on that term for us?
Yeah, so the rat race, we probably heard of it before, but it's the term, from my understanding, it origins from science labs. And they, you know, it's common knowledge that they use rats, you know what I'm saying, to and so a lot of times when they are using, all the times when they're using rats to test, you know, they may put them in a maze to figure something out, right? And, you know, they may have them racing against something or trying to get to some cheese or whatever. But the whole time, this is a rat in a structured environment. You know what I'm saying? The scientists gonna always win, you know, and they know exactly what they want them to do, how they want them to do it, what they, you know, impediments they gonna put in their way and all that. You know what I mean? So, you know, you have that, and then you marry that with the concept of like the hamster on the wheel, which is the same type of cycle as you just keep running and nothing is happening, you know. And so he says that, you know, most Americans are stuck in the rat race, you know, is that we're playing in this fixed race, and it's causing us to really exert a lot of energy and not go anywhere. And so that's my understanding of the rat race. That's what a lot of us have dealt with and a lot of us came from. But you don't want to pass that down. At least I don't want to pass that down to my daughter. So it's about finding a way to break from the rat race.
Big facts. Big facts. You know, kind of like people living paycheck to paycheck and falling victim to heavy debts and different things like that. That's what I think of when I think of like living a rat race.
Yep. You know what exactly. I mean? Yeah. 100%. You go to work, and because you work hard, you feel like you deserve things. You do deserve things, but then you go pay for them. You know what I'm saying? And whether it's, you know, entertainment or trips or whatever, or maybe you have to take out credit to do these things. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Now you got to go back to work to pay for the bills. You know what I'm saying? And you just kind of rinse and repeat that. And it's going to be hard to ever get out of that cycle unless something changes.
So I'm going to hit you with two quotes. I got one more question for you. I'm going to hit you with two quotes, and you got to tell me which one is more accurate in your opinion.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
Bet. So my first quote is, money can't buy happiness. And my second quote is, more money, more problems. Which one do you think is more accurate in your opinion?
More problems.
Talk to me.
more problems, man. Yeah, that's good though. I like that. Yeah, more money, more problems. Because, you know, they say it ain't about making money, it's about keeping money, right? So then when you learn how to keep the money, okay, now how do you invest it? Okay, now you invested it. Now if you win it, now what you do with this money? You know what I'm saying? So you feel me? It's an ongoing problem. It's like, yeah, it'd be nice. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh man, you know, the podcast, your podcast took off. Y'all boys making $500,000 a year. There's a lot of taxes that come with $500,000, you know, capital gains, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, what you doing now? Now you gotta get some people. You know what I mean? You gotta hire a team, you know, to make sure you can keep your money and you ain't giving all of it away. So, you know, and then now you ain't even talk about the personal part of it. You know what I'm saying? Because unless you hiding all your money, you know, you pull up looking like a half a brick, and they. Hey, went to school with.
Let me hold some, bro.
Let me get a dollar. You know, yeah. Let me borrow a dollar. You feel me? So it's like definitely more money, more problem. Money can't buy happiness. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's foolish in my opinion. That's strong terms, but I really stand on that because our culture has been taken advantage of and sold lies and manipulated to believe money can buy happiness because they put us in garbage, you know, through systematic oppression and slavery and all of that. And then they dangle shiny things and make us think that that's going to be an out and an escape. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I speak so strongly about it. Now, money does make things easier. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes a lot of things easier. You know, my partner say, he got a song. I don't know where he got it from. It's popular. Like, I'd rather cry in a Lambo than a Toyota type. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I get that. But I think it's important to know, like, nah, like, happiness and joy, that can only come from inside of you. You feel me? Like, nothing can, money ain't going to bring that out. It can just make you, you know, like an Instagram feed. It make it look like it's popping, but it may or may not be, man. Yeah.
Man, I definitely agree, bro. And I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for joining us on FY Fly the Podcast. Let the audience know where to reach you. Any final words? Go ahead.
Say, man, Literacy Kings, check us out. Check out Literacy Kings podcast, man. Type that in right now. We break down popular financial books to build up culture. You know, we do this in a relevant culturally, you know, cultural way. And it's for people of color who've been marginalized. You know what I mean? So we you might not know what a ROI, return on investment, is, but you know how much you made off a pack. You know what I'm saying? You know, you may feel like, man, I'm buying stocks and all of that. Like, I'm a hustler, you know, or, you know, you had a past, you know, where it might be shady or illegal. We're going to tell you, shoot, Coca-Cola used to have cocaine in it. You know what I'm saying? And they cleaned up. Apple, Steve Jobs, them was jugging the phone service. You know, like, they was robbing the phone service, really, when they first started. Like, Gallo Wine was Jack Boys. Like, we going to really break down real information, like, so you know, man, you know, it's no difference between you, me, and them. You know, like, we have every ounce of intelligence, opportunity, you know, and the literature, you know what I'm saying, to put together to, you know, really, really have our this generational wealth, you know, get to popping. And we did a whole series on Black Wall Street. You know what I'm saying? I know, you know, Group Economics and all that. We did a whole series on Black Wall Street. So come check us out on Literacy Kings. We're on IG too, literacykings.com, you know, and we dropping lessons and stuff on Patreon. So, yeah, man. Yes, sir. Check us out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like I said, I really appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate you having me, dog. This was enjoyable, man. I love what you're doing. I love what's coming. You know what I'm saying? I know this is just the first of many, you know, times we're going to be able to get together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So now we're going to take it back to Remy G and me for one of our favorite segments called Did You Know? Let's go. Welcome back to FY Fly the Podcast. And y'all know what time it is, or maybe y'all don't, but me and Mr. Make a Play finna let y'all know. Did you know there are over 582 million entrepreneurs in the world?
Did you know 78% of small businesses are currently profitable?
Did you know 21% of small businesses are solo entrepreneurs?
Did you know the number of minority entrepreneurs has increased by 35% over the past 10 years?
Did you know 23% of businesses experienced loss of revenue during the pandemic?
Did you know 72% of U.S. businesses owned by African Americans are profitable?
To wrap it all up for our FY Fly folks still locked in with us, we hope y'all learned a lot from our guy CP, man. Truly one of the realest to come by and drip some flavor and some knowledge for us. As y'all can see, ownership is something we should all be striving for. The peace of mind, freedom, and control of having ownership of your time and your business? Unmatched.
Nah, facts, CEO. So to recap the biggest lessons learned today, man, be sure if you're a business owner to understand your rights you have and to always protect the brand. The last thing we want is anyone getting sued or being taken to court. Protect yourself and your intellectual property. Actually, son, we might need to do a whole episode on protecting intellectual properties.
No cap. It's much needed with the amount of entertainers and artists that tune in with our show. But for our takeaway items, y'all know we can't leave y'all without them. Be sure to understand your situation. Understand who is in control, and if you're not, you just gotta play that game until you can boss up and run your own plays. But that's it from the FY Fly guys. We need y'all too. Stay safe.
Stay invested.
And stay fly.
Thank you all for listening to FY Fly the Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for more financial literacy insights with our special guest. Please visit our website, social media platforms, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at FYI Fly Podcast. That's FYI FLI Podcast. See y'all next week and stay fly.
But don't y'all go anywhere just yet. Stay tuned as each week here on FYI Fly, we like to give an independent artist or producer a chance to shine and gain some exposure. And this week we have If You Want It, I Got It by 806 Boogie. Let's go. We'll be right back.